We're glad that you're here, and it's good to see you. And Jake and I were celebrating Ernie's 20-year coin the other day. And I learned why you all comment on Jake and Bob when we come up. Because every time a speaker would get up, they would call their name out really nice, and it does kind of feel good, but that's where it comes from, I think. We incorporated that into what we're doing here. So congratulations, Ernie, and God bless you, my friend. Yay. Good deal. We have a passage of Scripture that is like going on vacation, and it is packed tight. And so if you have ever tried to go somewhere and you tried to fit everything in your closet and in your cupboards and in the garage in one suitcase, this Scripture is a lot like that. It is absolutely full of things. And we're going to read it. It takes about that long to read it, but it'll take the rest of our lives to live it. We're going to pull a few things out of the suitcase to try to comment on and to help us along. But the truth is, we've just got to ourselves dig into them and live with them. So here we go. Colossians chapter 3 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And that is absolutely amazing. So just to get right into it, the very first phrase, if you read that passage, pull open your Bible sometime, get Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 1, and it talks about being raised with Christ. So there's probably somebody, or maybe lots of somebodies here, who say, "I'm in a hole today. I have put myself in a hole. I've lived my life in such a way that my life is in a hole. I don't know how I'm ever going to get out." Look at that. Jesus Christ will raise you up. Just as many people who are in a hole today have gotten out of a hole here today because Jesus reached in and pulled them out. I could start naming names. We could talk about a whole lot of them. Thank God for that. There's some of us here today who have been crushed by life. Literally, you are crushed. You feel crushed. There's an interesting thing about God's wonderful love, and that he says, "I live in a high and a holy place, but I also live among those who have been crushed." And so if you are feeling crushed today, Jesus is right beside you to pick you up, to raise you up, and to put you in a good place. That's his desire for you. I hope you believe that. There's some of us, like my grandkids, who start to run, and we are just, "Oh, we're going to run. We're going to make this thing." And then we trip and we stumble and we skin our knee. My oldest grandson was doing that in our driveway the other day, and he just was, those little legs didn't go fast enough with where his mind thought he was going, and he just splattered right in the middle of the driveway. And I didn't go up to him and say, "Stupid, how come you can't run?" You know, I got him up and I gave him a big giant hug, and I was really happy he wasn't crying. And we got going. The same thing is true with God and you. When you stumble and when you fall and you do something you wish you had never done and you say, "Man, why in the world did I do this again? And why did this happen to me?" God is not going to say, "Oh, you idiot, you did it again." He's not going to do that. He's going to pick you up and dust you off. He's going to raise you up, okay? Then the best part of being raised up is that if we look at our lives, we are, all of us, dead spiritually. But God raises us up by his wonderful love, and he makes us alive spiritually. You look around this place, and we've got a lot of wonderful stories. People are changed. We have new life. How does that happen? It's not because we're such good folks. It's because God takes out an old part of us that is dead, and he replaces that with his Holy Spirit. And he puts his Spirit in us, and he makes us alive. That's being raised up. Now, Jake's going to take us a little further on that topic.
Yeah. Relationship with God starts, relationship with Jesus starts when we say, "Jesus, I need your help. God, I can't do it on my own. I need you." And sometimes we wander away from that, but that's always where it starts. If you're not able to say, "Jesus, I need you today," then nothing else from this passage can help you. Because Jesus is still there at the starting line saying, I'm here when you're ready to admit that you need me. And so whenever we reach up to Jesus and say, I need you to have a new life, to be able to have the life you want for me, then Jesus will reach down. He'll pick us up. Jesus is always eager to get started with us. The next passage here tells us about our side of the relationship, though. It's not just about what Jesus does for us. We have a part to play, too, to set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So it doesn't take, you know, mind control powers or something like that, but what this is talking about here, this idea that you can actually change where your heart is. You can change where your mind is. A lot of us don't realize that. Companies that have lots and lots of money and are very, very greedy pay a lot of money just to put an image in front of you, just to put a phrase in front of you. And that's because they know how powerful it is when you start to change what people are thinking about, what people care about. And so today I'm going to run through really quickly three or four things today that you can do that are going to help set that tone for your heart, set that tone for your mind. Because Jesus is willing to lift you up, but until you take hold of him, it's not going to do you very much good. So I'm going to go through these fast. There's a little notepad right in front of you, though. It says sermon notes. If you want to write some of this stuff down, because hopefully today you're going to say, yeah, one of those stuck out to me. I'm going to try one of those. So this very first one, we're going to start with the hardest one. Get that out of the way, maybe. So fasting, in its traditional sense, or its most basic form, is to say, I'm going to abstain. I'm not going to have any food for a set amount of time, and I'm only going to drink water. So when the Bible talks about fasting, that's what it means. And you're like, why would anybody want to go without food and just drink water? Well, there's actually lots of reasons why people fast, but for what we're talking about here today, when you decide to go on a fast, you basically recruit your stomach as an ally to set your mind and your heart on godly things. Because all day long, I know in my experiences, when I fast, I'm hungry and thinking about that I'm hungry constantly throughout that day. But every time I think I'm hungry, the next thought I have is I'm fasting. And then the next thought I have is something about God. Constantly, all day long, I'm thinking about God over and over and over. And temptations, it's like a vacation from temptation, I found, because honestly, I want to eat more than I want to do whatever sin looks attractive at the moment. And so it's really easy to say no to temptations while you're fasting. So fasting is something that people have used often to set their mind on God. And so while you fast, yeah, you can use the time when you would eat breakfast or lunch to read your Bible or pray. But the real benefit of it is all day long when you're hungry, it's a constant reminder that, hey, God is important to me. While my stomach's empty, I want to fill my life with God. So you set yourself up to have a day where you think about God all day long when you fast. Now, if you've never fasted before, there's some tricks to it. Gabby was giving somebody advice during Sunday school about digestive tips with regards to fasting. So if you've never fasted before, please talk to somebody before you do it who's done it before. But it can be an awesome tool in your walk with God. Next one I'm going to hit on is worship. Now, a lot of times when we think of worship, we think of maybe particular music or something like that. But the real heart of worship is to give adoration, to give praise to someone else for how good they are, and to offer yourself to them. So that's what the heart of worship is about. It's about saying, God, you are so amazing. I'm going to think about how amazing you are. I'm going to declare how amazing you are. And I'm going to offer myself to you. So worship can involve music. It often does. But sometimes we have music on that says worshipy things and we're not worshiping. So when I'm saying include worship in your life, I'm not just saying you change your radio station and you'll be worshiping all week long. Because sometimes we have, you know, the station turned to Caleb or something, but it's just background noise. So yesterday, I'm trying to put this stuff into practice as I'm preaching about it. Yesterday when I woke up, I like to pace, as you guys maybe could tell as I'm walking around here a whole bunch. If you ever call me, I'm constantly pacing when I'm on the phone, so I drive people nuts if they're around me when I'm on the phone. But Yesterday I was in the house in my house by myself, so I turned on some worship music in the morning, and I don't know if this is a real term, but I like paced worshiped like around a few rooms in my house like while the music was on. And I sang a little bit, but mostly I was just talking to God about how great he was, and then just about what was going on kind of in my life, but mostly just focused on how good God was. And so even though it only was about 10 minutes of my day, it set a different tone for my whole day because I set my heart right from the beginning on how good God is. I thought about how great God is, how great Jesus is. And I spent some time, for me, pacing around doing that. Now, you don't have to start pacing in your living room to worship, but think about that. What if this week you spent extra time in adoration of God, offering yourself to God? How would that change your heart? How would that change your thinking? The next one I want to hit real quickly, but this is a little tip in life. So this is a verse I have put up on my dashboard. And when you memorize scripture, that plants scripture in your heart. Now, most people in our society don't memorize anything anymore. We just Google stuff. But memorizing something, it's different than just hearing it once. When you memorize something, you plant it in your heart. And it's there all the time. So I challenge you, if you guys memorize a verse this week, I bet, without you even thinking about it, you'll talk about it to someone else. It'll come up in your speech with someone else. Because when you memorize something, it's just on your mind, it's in your heart, and suddenly your conversations start to include that verse, or your actions start to have that verse. So when you decide to memorize a verse, you're saying, this is so important to me, I want this in my heart. I want to plant this in my heart and see what grows out of it. So a simple way to memorize it I've found, you can maybe have your own tricks, but put a note card on your dashboard, and every time you're at a red light, say the verse over and over and over. All you have to give up for that to work is your time at red lights, which no one likes. But at the end of the week, you'll have a verse memorized. Now, there's maybe a better system for you personally, but try this one out. Because if you plant a verse in your heart this week, it's going to change your heart. It's going to change your thinking a little bit. I'm going to skip down to this one. So it's my last piece of advice for us today on methods here. So this is called a 5-year journal. I'd never heard about these until about 2.5 years ago, but I started using one as a prayer journal. And what it does, it's hard to read, but the very top there, it has a date. I think that says October 13th. And then every page of the journal has a day of the year. And what you do is in each box, you write a year. So this journal's got 2014, 2015, and 2016. So all through October, I've been getting to relive how great the Royals were doing the last couple years, because there's a lot of little like thank yous. I think 2015 is thank you. Granny and I got to watch the Royals score 5 runs in the 8th inning to come back and win. So, I mean, that sort of stuff comes up. So sometimes you're just remembering random details of life. But also, all this is just stuff I'm praying about each day. So there's thanking God for stuff, but there's also praying about problems, things that are going on. But the trick of this format is it reminds you about what was going on in your life the last year and 2 years ago. And as I go on, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So a few months ago, I was stressed about some financial stuff that was going on in my life, and I was writing down prayer requests about that. And then I looked back, and in 2015, I was praying about, God, I really need your help. Christy and I, my wife, are looking for a house, and we don't know if it's going to work out. And I realized now I'm sitting in that house that God provided for us, worried about some other financial thing. I looked back to 2 years ago, 2014, and Christy's car, my wife's car, had just totally destroyed itself. And we were looking for a new car and worried about it and stressed about, could we afford to get a car that wasn't going to break down? And I realized God took care of me in 2014. And God took care of me in 2015 on this same date, basically. And so, like, God can take care of me today. And it totally changed my perspective on the financial worry that I had. So, 5-year journals or note cards in your car or fasting, like, those aren't things every single person has to do. But if we want a relationship with God, we all have to find ways to say, I'm going to set my heart, the core of who I am, I'm going to set it up so that I know God better, so I'm thinking about God more. I'm going to put reminders in my life. I'm going to consciously choose to spend time with God, to spend time thinking about God. Last little analogy here before Bob moves on to a really great final point. So you guys can catch this here. So I'm not a parent.
That is not a commentary on this sermon, by the way.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm not a parent, but I have a lot of family. Tons of my extended family have babies right now, have little kids. And a lot of my friends have little tiny kids. And as a guy who's not a parent, I'm amazed at how long and how often parents have conversations about what their kids are eating and how it's affecting consistency and color of other things. And so parents just talk on and on and on about, well, did you feed them this or that? And they'll have this huge conversation about it. And it's pretty ridiculous, I think, from the outside. But there's a simple truth there that everybody knows. It's that what a baby eats affects what goes on inside of a baby, and it affects what comes out of a baby. And we're no different. What we put into us affects what goes on inside of us, and it affects what comes out of us. Okay? If you were down in Sunday school with us down in the fellowship hall a few minutes ago, Jesus said, out of the overflow of the mouth, or out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this week, if you want to change your speech, you have to change what's in your heart. You have to change what you're putting into yourself. So our first step was God can raise us up. As soon as we're asking for help, God will raise us up. Our part of the process is to say, I'm going to actually put God on my mind. I'm going to put God in my heart by these specific steps I'm going to take. But the huge payoff, Bob's going to talk to us about what happens once we do those first two steps.
Yeah, thank you. They're really, don't miss all three steps. And pick one of the things that Jake was talking about there and work on it and see what God does, getting your mind and your heart aligned with God. And so let's look at the next verse here, Jake. It says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And that's a mystery, and this is a little tough for us to get, so let's try to get it. When Jesus died on the cross, by a miracle of God's grace, everyone that has ever lived on this earth was with Christ on the cross. I believe that the time when the earth was dark was a time where Jesus not just suffered for everyone, but he took everyone into his heart. Only God can do this. By the way, if we get to heaven and God tells you it was different, he's right and I'm wrong, okay? But I believe that when Jesus was on the cross, we were with him. The Bible teaches that. And he was not only just forgiving us of our sins, but he was taking us there so that we, our old sin nature, could also die, okay? And Galatians chapter 2 is the passage that I most resonate with, even though Colossians is really pretty good. So let's go ahead and get to Galatians, please. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. That's what he said. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I died, and I'm no longer alive, but I am alive. Jesus lives in me, okay? We're going to apply that in a minute. Let's get the rest of that phrase. Now, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I apply this by faith to my life. So let me describe a couple of stories of how that's applied, and I really encourage you to learn Galatians 2:20 and apply it to your life. Please think about that. So I got up this morning, and I knew we were preaching about this, so I thought I'd better put it into practice. And I started to read the Bible, and I said, Lord, I'm dead. You're alive. Would you please live through me and make this Bible study become real to me? It's kind of crazy for me to say, God, let's have a Bible study and I'll tell you what I'm learning, right? God, you live in me, you tell me what you want me to learn, right? Everybody can say, yes, I'll do that. Thank you very much. And you know, I got a little worry about a meeting tomorrow night. And so that's been on my head a little bit. Well, Jesus isn't worried about our meeting. And I'm dead. Dead people don't worry. Folks, take a trip down to Mount Washington Cemetery. There ain't a single guy down there worrying, all right? So, Lord, if I'm dead, and you're alive in me, and you got this thing, I don't have to worry. Now, folks, you have to pray that more than once. Okay, once doesn't get it, but I can pray it frequently, and God takes me out of worry. Use the same analogy. I have been angry. I try not to be angry, but some of y'all know I'm an angry guy at times. And I when I get started, I'm there. And that's not exactly a fruit of the Spirit, by the way. And so, again, Lord, I'm dead, but you're alive. And I don't like so-and-so, but you love them. God, love them through me. Try praying that. I'm for real. Try praying that. I have issues with envy at times. And there have been times, Lord, you live in me, and you're not particularly happy about my thought. I'm dead to that thought. You live through me. Y'all follow me on that? And so we can do that. You can start your day like this. Lord, today I am dead, but you're alive in me. Live your life through me. Try it out. It is amazing what happens when you do that and you pray that, just a little flash prayer, a little quick prayer. You flash that to God and you say, God, here it is. I could talk a long time about that, but we want to give you a chance to respond. And so Jake is going to talk to you about how you can respond to what we said today. The big deal is Jesus Christ picked us up. He wants us to have a new mind. He wants to live through us. Let's let him do it. Jake, why don't you talk to us about it?
Yeah, so if you're here today and you're saying, I know I can't do it on my own, Jesus, I want a new life with you. Okay, Jesus is ready. If you're saying, okay, and I'm going to, my part of it is this is the way I'm going to change my thinking this week. This is the way I'm going to change my heart this week. Do you know that? Because it'd be really easy to step out here and be like, that was a funny sermon, but then not change anything. So what are you going to do that's different? You're going to get out a 3x5 card and put it on your dashboard? I talked to a lady after first service. She said, I'm fasting today. I missed breakfast, and I just decided I'm going to fast today. So she's right into it, you know. That was Gabby's conversation about digestion and stuff with fasting. But she had decided. She didn't miss this opportunity. Because your life will be hidden in Christ if you start spending time with him in that humble way of, God, I need you. And that hidden in Christ, it's mysterious. You can't really understand it until you live it. But when you start saying, Jesus, help me, and you start spending time with Jesus every day, you fall in love with Jesus. From there, your life just goes with Jesus. So we're going to have people down front. The worship team is coming up. But now is your time to decide, what is the step you are going to take? Do you need to come down and say, Jesus, I need you? Do you need to come down and say, I need courage to put something into practice? Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are, that you're always eager to get started with us. God, I pray today we would take a step with you. Show us clearly what you want us to do during this time of response. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.